Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for March 17th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is the birthday boy-to-be, Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Well, by the time you hear this, it will have been my birthday.
But we are recording just before the birthday, so...
Yeah, like an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, happy 29th birthday.
Well, thank you.
Is it the 29th birthday for the third time or something?
I think it'll be the third time I'll be 29. Actually, I don't go with that. So, it is what it is. I'm 54.
And I'm getting there.
If you're lucky, you're getting there. I mean, that's.
I don't know about that, man. It's a lot. It's a lot easier to relax and not breathe. All right. Well, on today's show, we've got an interview with Dennis Sarfate of the, geez, what team is he on now? I'm kidding, Dennis. We love you, buddy. With the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks, and we're going to talk about a lot of the players from camp and answer a great listener question. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right. Well, last week, I went out to Yokohama Stadium where the SoftBank Hawks were playing a couple of their preseason games against the DeNA Bay Stars, and had a chance to catch up with a couple of players, including Dennis Sarfate. And Dennis Sarfate is in he's a reliever. He pitched 92 career big league games. Mm-hmm. And of those 92, four were starts. He got those in 2008 for Baltimore when pretty much if you had an arm and you could throw 85 miles an hour, you were a starting pitcher.
Wow.
It seems. But anyway, he has 92 career games in MLB and 140 in AAA, which is a fairly typical kind of profile for a player who's coming to Japan. Although a little high on the career big league games, and we have a lot of guys who, you know, have 8 or 9.
Right.
But anyway, his final year in the States in 2010, he was 29 years old for the Orioles AAA team in Norfolk, and he saved 20 games, which was really the first time he was used as a regular closer.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, we've got this 29-year-old closer who's probably not going anywhere. He's not burning up the base paths to get into the big leagues, so the Carp bring him over here, and he saves 35 games, which is definitely a step up from AAA Norfolk.
Right.
So, he slumped the following season, lost his job in Interleague.
I know he was injured that year too, yeah.
Yeah, and he was ineffective. He wouldn't say he was injured at the time, but he was ineffective, and he was in the minors. And DeCam Michelio got the start, and that's worked out well for Cam. And then Dennis went to Cebu last year where he saved 10 games, which you say, wow, 10 games. And he was their number one. That was their best save total for the team.
I think they
saved 29 games last year.
Yeah, they had second fewest saves in the Central League, I believe it was.
Pacific League. So Dennis had 10 saves with the Lions, and now he's going to a team that had fewer saves, which is the Hawks, which is kind of interesting. So, anyway, let's have a listen to what Dennis Sarfate, the man of many teams, had to say.
All right.
Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is former Hiroshima Carp, former Cebu Lions, and new SoftBank Hawks, Dennis Sarfate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Every time I see you, you're in a different uniform.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I'll be here for a while, I hope. But yeah, I'm tired of moving teams. This is the team for me, I think.
Oh, really?
So
what was it about the Hawks that made you want to come here?
No, it's a tradition. They win. The great lineup. I was tired of pitching against them, I tell you that much. I love Fukuoka. I thought that was the best city for my family to enjoy.
Right.
They're ready to win. And obviously they went out and got, you know, us four guys this year. And as Deho and Brian and Jason and myself. So I'm just looking forward to being on a team that consistently wins.
Right. What was your take on the Hawks last year?
I thought they were one of the best teams. It's amazing how pitching can get, you know, abused a little bit, and, you know, because they're hitting, their lineup was the best in the league, if you ask me. I thought some of their starters, you know, had some struggles, and their bullpen was good. At times it could be really good, but I just think that they just messed up a couple of games pitching-wise, and that if they could have won a couple of extra games with, you know, good pitching, they would have been right in the playoff race.
And that now they've got the we've got Lee Ho batting on your side.
Yeah, thank goodness. I was tired of facing him too.
Could he get any hits on? How did you do against you last year?
He went 1-for-2. He, in a 2-to-1 game against Oryx, I had two outs, 0-2 count on him, and he hit a homer in the right field off me, so to blow a save. So I'm glad to have him on my team as well.
Okay. So now with the Lions, they made you a contract offer.
Mm-hmm.
But you were. What were the decisions there about staying or not staying?
You know, I loved my time in Cebu. I love the guys in the team. Mm-hmm. I think it just came down to getting paid for your services and getting respected. I felt like their offer was well below what other teams were offering.
Okay.
I guess it was just time for me to go and move on. Nothing against them. I understand they have, you know, money constraints. Not everyone can spend the money, you know, like
sure.
The Hawks can spend, the Giants can spend, and to the Tigers. But I understood that. You know, they let Wakui go. They let Kataoka go.
Mm.
So it was one of those things where, you know what, it wasn't a fit for me. Then, you know, I was going to come over here and do my job here.
And it's always nice to be wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so were there any offers from other teams, like in the Central League? And
yeah. You know, it's funny, they always call. The serious suitors were the Eagles and the Hawks, and then the Giants called. The Giants, it was kind of touchy. We didn't know if they wanted me to be a starter or a reliever, and I definitely want to be a starter. So, and I wasn't going over there to be in the minor leagues. You know, they got Scott.
You want to start?
No, I don't want to start.
Oh, okay.
I definitely don't want to start. But, you know, they got their bullpens full. They didn't
right.
need me, and I wasn't going to try and sign with the team just for money and just to go to the minor leagues. You know, I came here to fit in. You know, to me, Iggy Rashi's the closer, and whatever they're going to do with, you know, us in the seventh and eighth with Morifuku and Okajima-san, and we have some good arm. I mean, if our starters go 6 innings, the game should be over.
Okay. With this lineup now, how would you evaluate the Hawks in the last year? You talked about the lineup. How about the defense and the overall makeup of the team? What was your impression of them?
Defense is good. I mean, the guys at the middle, Imamiya and Honda, they're really good.
Right.
The outfield's good. I feel like it... I feel like it's one of the best, besides their hitting, the way they get to the ball. Gita's, you know, got good range. Hasegawa was good. Uchikawa was good. Their defense is solid. Their catchers are really good. Now getting Suoroka, you know, he just adds more depth. I mean, I don't know who's going to be the starting catcher, but both of them, Hosokawa and him, are great. So I'm just looking forward to getting to see them. I mean, if you look at our team, it looks like an all-star team.
Now, you do have you had a couple of Japanese additions, well, Suoroka, and you also had Nakata come over from the Dragons.
He's impressed me the most, I think, so far.
He's been dealing so far.
Yeah, he commands the fastball both sides of the plate. His slider's really good. He's got definitely above-average stuff. It's kind of surprising to see a team like the Dragons, who rely on their pitching so much, to let a guy like that go and walk. But I understand he's from, you know, Fukuoka.
Sure.
I'm sure that had a big play in his part. But, yeah, definitely glad to have him. I think our rotation's pretty strong now with the additions of Wolfie and Standridge. And, you know, you got guys that are pitching great. Tara Hart's been great. Oba's been great. Setsu's, you know, speaks for himself with his
sure.
numbers. With Nakata added in there, I mean, you got 5-6 starters that can easily, you know, give you 7 innings every time out. So I think you're looking at a real good team with a real good possibility of winning 90 games.
Okay, let's talk about your preparations as you go into the season. Now, how much so right now today is March 9th, and you've got, 19 days before the start of the season. What's your path of progression? What kind of numbers do you pay attention to, or what kind of feelings are you looking for? What's your metric there?
Main thing is getting as many games as possible. I already threw in a game, had a day off, threw in a game the next day. So, you know, I'm going to try and go back-to-back, try and go maybe one-plus innings, not exactly two, but maybe finish an inning and come back out for another one. You know, I'm gonna do what I normally do. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to run. And I'm going to do everything I have to do to get ready.
Don't play ping pong with that.
No.
He's the champion.
Yeah. As far as throwing wise, when I get into a game and my fastball, if, you know, I'll ask them how hard I was throwing. I'll know by my velocity how my strength is building up and
okay.
my durability. And right now it's about building stamina, running, doing all my normal stuff. And I feel like I'm ready for the season to start today. But okay. I'm definitely appreciate the 19 extra days I have to get ready.
Yeah, I think for sports writers, we. By the time of March, and we're happy to see the season start, but we wish we had like an extra 2 months to prepare.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for being on the show again. I think this is your third time or fourth time. We're going to start
welcome.
Giving you an award.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, thanks much,
thank
and
you,
good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you, Dennis, again for helping us out. We got to give you a frequent interviewer card or something.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. You're officially a friend of the program, but I think that was from interview number two on, so we got to give you a gold star or something.
So what, next time we give you your phones when you fly with us or something? I don't know. So what did Dennis say that caught your ear or stuck out for you?
Well, geez, the first thing is that you know how engaging Dennis is, because whenever I go to a park and I see him, you know, he stops whatever he's doing, if he's doing a stretch or something like that, and he runs over and he starts chatting with me, and, you know, we'll chat and you know, talk just for a few minutes, or if he's not busy, then we just keep talking and talking and talking, and he's always that way. And if you notice, he was talking like 50 miles an hour and you were talking about the speed limit. I mean, you know, he got a lot of information in there in a very short time.
Yep.
And, you know, it's no surprise to me that he said the Hawks are serious about winning. And I think that's what really stuck out for me. I don't know if he was taking a veiled shot at some of the past teams that he's been with.
Those teams were both in the playoffs last year.
Last year, but not necessarily, the Carp when he was with them. They weren't in the playoffs. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I know he said he's looking forward to being on a team that consistently wins, and he snuck that in just as you were about to get ready for your next question. So I'm not sure how much you were focused on that, but I'm like, well, geez, the Lions consistently won, but they had a bad start one year, but he wasn't there. And
true,
they got to the playoffs last year. I mean, by the skin of their teeth, they did. So, but that statement spoke volumes for me, because now he's in a situation where, this team expects to win. They have very high standards. I can't believe, you know, I was looking through the numbers, and I can't believe they didn't win, at least go to the playoffs. It's so hard to fathom that this team finished fourth place last year.
Yeah, it was unbalanced, and we talked a lot about it last year. We argued about it a fair amount last year. Hawks were a good team that didn't win. Well, you can't be a good team if you don't win, and so on and so forth. But they were really, as he said, you know, they were kind of sabotaged by a few bad starts. I think they had a couple of games where they just gave up so many runs.
Yeah, but I think what we argued about was I didn't think they played good defense consistently throughout the field, and you were talking to me about the numbers and the number of double plays they had, and you said that they played good defense, and I said, well, a couple of guys play really good defense. The other guys are pretty much average, and I've seen them not make some plays that probably could have been outs.
Yeah.
And I think that caused, I mean, you look at their pitching numbers and you want to blame the pitchers immediately, because you see that they scored. I mean, they're, you know, he said.
Well, not me. I mean, I'm usually, you know me, I'm usually the first thing I do is blame the defense. If your whole pitching staff's bad, it's not like the pitchers all forgot which way to throw off the mound.
hey, home plate's over here, bud.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to throw in second.
Yeah, they had their struggles, and obviously they paid for it by not making it to the playoffs. But, you know, it sounds like Cebu tried to keep him on the cheap, and I don't want to bring up last episode's show, but I mean, obviously underpaying doesn't work at all. And he wasn't having any of that, and I don't blame him. And it looks like he might have gotten out of Dodge just in time with the new skipper, Haruki Ihara, and his strict ways.
I think that's one of the things. Now, I guess I have this interesting relationship with Ihara. I really like him. He drives me nuts, but I really like him because he's a nice, friendly guy, and he'll always spend time to talk with you.
Mm.
And he's very frank, and he is very smart. But so many of the things, I guess I'm going to give him credit and say so many of the things he says just go over my head.
Mm.
He may be a genius, and that so much of this stuff goes over my head. But he's also had a very unsettling effect on his teams after he won the Japan Series as a rookie. After he won the Pacific League as a rookie manager in 2002, and lost the Japan Series, basically Every team, he's both the Lions and the Oryx Buffaloes kind of came unraveled when he was managing them.
Well, yeah, like I said, I think he might have gotten out of town, out of Dodge just in time. But, you know, one thing that Dennis also said was this lineup. He was sick of facing this lineup and that it's like an all-star team. And I'm thinking, yeah. Well, no, but they hit like an all-star team.
Sure.
They scored runs like an all-star team. They produced like an all-star team, but, you know, all-star teams seem to have, you know, wins behind them somewhere, and the SoftBank Hawks did not come up with the wins last year. And
well, that's, you know, you can, there are a lot of ways why they didn't get those, you know, those extra two wins. I think they needed to be in the postseason, but, it was a weird season. They were very close.
Yeah, they were very close.
Let me ask you a question. If you had to replay the 2013 season and you had to pick again, which team would you like? I mean, going into the season and knowing what they're going to hit and knowing, you know, expecting them to repeat at that level of performance, would you pick the three playoff teams to finish ahead of the Hawks?
Not at all.
No.
Even if somebody said, well, the Eagles are going to win. Yeah, even if somebody said, they came to me and said, look, the Eagles are going to win the Pacific League. And I'm like, no, they're not. Not with that team. They're not going to beat the Hawks. You know, we both looked at the talent. We looked at what they had. And the manager, Akiyama, is one of the managers I respect probably the most in Japan. And it's not like he can't get guys to play.
Yep.
So either
the Hawks are, I think, the deepest team in Japan. They have, the issue of an injury is almost, you know, there are a couple of players that could hurt them if they got injured, you know, and of course they had a shortstop who didn't hit. He could play defense, but he couldn't hit a lick. There are catchers who couldn't hit a lick, but the outfield, I mean, they could lose all three of their starting outfielders, and I don't think it would slow them down that much. They got so much outfield depth on the farm team.
Yeah.
And on the bench. So, I mean, that's something. The Lions are another team that, of course, we've talked about in the past. They're good at managing injuries because they get a lot of practice every year. I just think the Hawks are the best. They were the best team a year ago going into the season. I think they were, it's like, I guess I had this an example with someone, you know, a couple of years ago, that if you, you know, you stack the odds in your favor, it doesn't mean you're going to win. Yeah. You know, the odds were stacked in the Hawks' favor, and they didn't turn out that way. If you roll a dice, or you flip a coin 1,000 times, and it comes up heads 535 times, it doesn't mean that the coin is crooked. It doesn't mean the coin, you know, is not fair.
Right.
These things just happen.
It happens. Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before too. It doesn't, you know, the best team doesn't always win the Japan Series. It's the team that plays the best.
It is the team that scores the most runs in the games that are the most critical.
Yeah. So I'm looking at him now, and one of the things he also said was that, you know, he talked about the idea of roles, or the concept of roles, which, you know, I love.
I know you do. And I'm a fan, too. I mean, it's just that we have different ways of expressing that love.
All right. The expression of love here is going to be that I think he said Igarashi is the closer. I'm not sure I'm sold on Igarashi being the closer for the whole season. Right. I think I'd rather have Sarfati close than Igarashi. But the thing is, they need to both stay healthy. And that's that. If there's one question about both of them, it's that at almost 33, I think Dennis is going to be this season. And Igarashi, I think health, you know, you have to be concerned about it. You have to be prepared for one of those guys to be out. And after that, you know, they don't have Falkenborg anymore. He's gone to Rakuten. So I would, you know, they've always had good arms. Remember, I asked somebody, it was CJ Nikowski I asked, and I said they always have such good arms coming up. So I'm sure somebody will emerge and be able to get the job done. Senga last year was really good for them. I'm expecting him to come back at some point and do well. So, yeah, I know they're going to have the arms. It's not even a matter of the concern. And when you say, I'm trying to decipher whether I think they're actually the deepest team in Japan, because I really like what they did in the offseason. They picked up a lot of talent, and they picked up guys who probably want to play every day and who are not. So that's, you know, I think you're right, but I don't know. I think the Giants have a lot of talent too. I just don't think that you said all three outfielders could go down and they might not miss a beat. And I don't think that's the case for the Giants, but they have some depth too.
No, the Giants do. The problem with the Giants' depth is a problem more with age.
It's in a different area too. Yeah, but age. But I mean, you know, they've got some young kids coming up and everything. I don't want to talk about them though. I want to stay focused on the Hawks. And you know, that was obviously the fact that they didn't have that many saves last year. We could point to the bullpen as being a problem, but just because they don't have saves just means they either had a bunch of games where they were tied and either won them or lost them and didn't have a save opportunity, or they just didn't create enough save opportunities, because they obviously won enough games to have 30 plus saves. They just didn't get there.
Yeah, I think it was an odd season overall for the Hawks. A lot of weird things happened. And talking about the starting pitchers, one of the things that the Hawks believe is that the change in the ball ruined. They had a couple of pitchers who were effective with a couple of pitches with the new ball.
Mm.
They were effective locating a couple of pitches, having fuzzy locations with a couple of pitches.
So
people couldn't drive it.
Right. Are you talking about the surreptitiously changed?
Yes, yes, yes. And
okay,
so, when
so the
ball
2013
changed,
ball.
They tried that stuff that had worked for 2 years and it stopped working.
Mm.
And that was that. This is not my idea. This is an idea that was floating around the SoftBank organization.
Mm-hmm.
That basically these guys need to find more control, because if they throw that slop up there and expect, you know, well, you know, basically, you know, the expression that slop don't fly. Well, this slop won't fly.
Wow.
It was like a food fight.
Yeah.
That stuff was flying all over the park, and that was the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, and we're going to do our PL and CL preview show next week, where we go through all the teams and we talk about the strengths and weaknesses. But obviously, we both think that the Hawks are loaded again this season. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. And like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head a few moments ago when you said Dennis didn't tell anyone he was injured, probably. And as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be one of the better closers in the league. I mean, he had, like you said, the most saves for the Lions last year. Yeah, for the Lions last year, and they were reluctant to use him in that role, it seems. So,
well, they didn't know who. That was the thing. They didn't. The Lions bullpen was a revolving door, and I think there was also health issues there with a couple of the pitchers. Oishi was going to be the closer, and then he wasn't going to be. And then Dennis was going to be the closer, and he wasn't. And at the start of the season, Randy Williams might have been one of the candidates to be the closer, and he wasn't. And eventually they turned to a guy who's done the job as closer, you know, for a year and a half, and that was Wakui.
Right.
Of course, who left so he could do what he really wants to do, which is start.
Yeah, well, he was starting a fire the other day, but anyway.
Yeah, we get to Wakui a little bit later. Yeah, he's got to get out of his he's got to go through his Koji Uehara phase, which is, I'm really a starter. I'm not a star reliever.
Okay, yeah. What are you again?
I think we've heard the last of that. After last year with the Red Sox, I think we're no longer going to hear Uehara talking about the starter he intends to be next year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So good for that.
All right, well, thanks a lot to Mr. Sarfate. Thank you very much, Dennis, and I'll see you out at the park sometime soon, hopefully.
Yep, and thanks, and hopefully we'll see you and talk to you some more.
And thank you, Jim, for getting the interview done. Good job.
Pleasure.
All right, so let's talk about camp. Some camp notes. One in particular has been, and I think I've mentioned before that Yuki Matsuya, the Rakuten Eagles, their first pick and the gem of the draft last year. I didn't think he should be rushed along, and I keep looking at his size, and he's working hard physically to get himself into shape, and I see that little baby face, and I keep thinking he's a little kid. He's just a little kid, and the emphasis on the little.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, baby-faced, like, what, compared to Takuya Asao, who looked, you know, we used to joke with Tyrone Woods that he needed a letter from his mom to attend night games.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have that kind of baby face, but he just looks so young. Yeah. And,
well, he is small. I mean, he's 1.73 centimeters.
Or 5'7" or 5'8", somewhere in between there. yeah, he's just a little guy, but listen to these numbers. 12 innings pitched, no runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 12 Ks and a hit batter this spring. And, he pitched well in his most recent outing the other day.
Yep.
So Hoshino, the skipper, Seiichi Hoshino, says, I wouldn't say I don't want to name my starting pitcher yet, and I wouldn't say that he's not going to be in the possibility. Let's put it that way.
Oh, for opening day.
For opening day. And I'm like, what? You know, no, you don't want to. And he said it'd be interesting to put, you know, have rookies start.
He did say, however, that he would be in the top end of the rotation.
He did say he did guarantee top end of the rotation, and I'm just shocked. And, I mean, obviously, I don't think you – we've talked about it. I don't like to – invest in young players like that, and I certainly don't like to rush him along. And this guy, you know what I like about him is obviously he's facing professional hitters. He's not facing young kids anymore, and he's starting these games, so he's starting against the frontline guys.
Right.
It is spring training. I call these fake games. I don't think they're all that serious. Most guys are working on stuff anyway. But nobody wants to be embarrassed in any situation, especially, I don't know what it is about baseball players, but they think they just cannot be embarrassed. And so I think they, you know, they're going at him seriously.
He's embarrassed a few already. So.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, by the looks of things, I don't think the farm would do him any good, you know, to start. I think if they put the wood to him and he doesn't do well and he ends up getting sent to the farm, I think it's good to work on things down there. But I think as long as he's as good as some of the other starting pitchers that you have, he might as well be on the first team helping you try to win some games. And he'll benefit. He'll have to learn on the fly here. But what do you think? I mean, I it'll be interesting to see where he ends up in the rotation. I just don't see him lasting a whole season if you put him at, you know, number two, number three, and he's pitching against tough opponents all the time. But I mean, it doesn't matter. He's got to pitch. These guys still got to get guys out no matter who he's pitching against. So,
is this maybe our equipment isn't working right, because I basically agree with you 100%.
Oh no.
Is
this thing on?
No, but in terms of bringing him, you know, actually we always have to be looking at games in terms of today's game and the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Which is something Japanese baseball isn't really good at doing, because when it comes to opening day, they all turn into slobbering idiots.
Yes.
Oh, it's opening day. It's opening day. Everything depends on opening day. And they write stupid things.
I've heard the story.
And they say stupid things.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting over that, once opening day's done, they go, okay, well, it was only one loss, you know. So.
Or one win. Yeah.
Or one win, and it's a long season. But until that, boy, you just can't get any rational thought about opening day. But anyway, yeah. It is, as a fan, I'm really excited to see how he's going to do at the start of the season. But from a more recent thing, my biggest concern is the workload he's already done as an amateur.
Mm.
And pushing that to the top. And Yuki Matsui was the first draft last year in 2013. 2 years before that, Yoshino Kamata came out. And this guy was on fire.
Yeah.
And he pitched really well. He wasn't he struck out. He ended up striking out 77 batters in 112 innings, which is pretty good for a high school, you know, first year kid out of high school. And he went 7-4 in 20 games. And basically he's headed for his first Tommy John surgery now.
Mm.
So this is something that high school pitchers are prone to. You know, they go through a lot of arm abuse to get where they are, most of them, and you have to be careful. I'm not saying the Eagles weren't careful because I know Hoshino he told me twice. I asked him twice about Kamata that year, and he said once, well, he isn't as good as everybody thinks he is. Which is what Hoshino says about all his
I was going to say, yeah.
They're not as good. They're not as good as, you know, they're not as good as they think they are or you think they are. They're only as good as I think they are. But he said that, and he said, basically, I've used him against teams that don't hit a lot. He said the day after he beat the Lions at Cebu Dome. The Lions were definitely one of those teams that hit a lot.
Right.
So I think it was a matchup thing that he had been trying to exploit. But anyway, you know, it's a lesson that young pitchers do get hurt. And Matsui right now, the problem with a lot of young pitchers coming out of high school, especially guys who profile like Matsui, smaller guys and guys with really good control.
Mm-hmm.
Who can fit right in, they tend to blow their arms out. Now, this is less of a problem now than it was 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because teams are more careful about pitch counts, which is, you know, we don't know everything, but pitch counts are one part of the picture that we, you know, we don't want to push pitchers too hard, and we can look at pitch counts as a way of trying to gauge that. It's like trying to gauge your speed by counting the, you know, the time between the fence posts on the highway, but it's,
right.
you know, it's one measure. It's not very good, but it's one measure.
Right. Well, one of the things I've heard about Matsui and I read about too was that a lot of the guys are saying that the compliments that he's getting are that he throws at different pitches, but he keeps the same arm angle. He keeps
yeah.
the same motion and he keeps
right.
the same release point on a lot of the pitches. And that makes it hard to pick up. And that's why he's striking guys out. And I heard him say after one of the games the other day, he said, you know, I don't want to throw too many pitches. I'm cognizant of that. But when, you know, I get two strikes on a guy, I just have to go for that strikeout. You know, he's like, he can't control himself. And I'm like,
well,
that's a pretty confident guy though.
Well, that's a good thing.
And,
you know, when you strike out, well, he struck out 22 batters and he owns, I believe still owns the Summer
Coach
National
record,
High School
yep.
Championship
22.
Record of 22 batters in one game.
Mm.
Just think of five guys, you know, put the ball in play.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, he's coming along and so far so good. And I do wonder about that. And I wonder how much Hoshino will keep the brakes on until he proves, you know, he doesn't need it.
Yeah, well, I hearken back to the Ma-Kun days in his rookie season and talking to Jose Fernandez about it. And he said, hey, look, they treat him like he's gold. They are grooming this guy. And when he gets into trouble, when there are runners on, and even if the game's on the line, they don't just go and yank him out and say, hey, get him next time. They talk the guy through and they try to get him through the situation. And I think that's why we see a guy now in Ma-Kun who doesn't get flustered with guys on base and who bears down and starts to hit his spots because he had been through it so much. So I think, you know, obviously I remember you saying on the show before, hey, look, Ma-Kun is Ma-Kun because he is Ma-Kun. It's not because the Eagles made him into this guy. And I think for the most part, that's true, but they can help guys develop and they can give them advice along the way. And they can certainly make you or break you, in some respects, not maybe make you, but they can certainly break you. And so
yeah,
I hope the
yeah,
Eagles
and
don't
that
break
way teams can be like pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, more than making a game of it, they're the guys out there holding the dynamite. You know,
yep.
They got the TNT in their back pocket, the nitroglycerin in their back pocket. They can blow up a game faster than anybody on the field.
Yep.
But, you know, and they win by not blowing it up.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I think that's a very good point. And yes, teams do have an impact. But again, he's, you know, you need the raw materials, and he was the raw, you know, he's smart enough and he was big enough and strong enough and
doggone it, gosh darn it, people like him. Okay, that's
yes, well, I do. Obviously, somebody, our buddy Michael Church said, when did I ask me when I started working for Tanaka's agent? I said the check's overdue if I am.
Yeah.
So anyway, right. No, the thing that I would point out there, or one of the comments, Paul Pupo, who used to be the video analyst for the Chiba Lotte Marines one day, told me, he says, you know how many sliders Masaru Tanaka threw? And this is when he was a rookie. He said he threw 78, he threw 110 pitches, and 78 or 82 of them, it was an even number, were sliders. His arm is, he said his arm is going to be bent like a orangutan's by next year. And notice what happened to his slider. It's no longer the, was no longer the best pitch in Japan. I guess because he found another one that was better. I don't know what the story is there, but the slider is a danger pitch. I'm keen to read some recent research on pitch FX and arm injuries.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, so that's the thing with Matsui. It is going to be interesting. I'm concerned. Of course I hope he has a really nice season. The guy he reminds me, the pitcher he reminds me of is Masumi Kuwata of the Giants.
Oh, okay.
A guy out of high school who had all the control in the world whose career, who ended up with Tommy John surgery like a lot of guys.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our next topic now. This is, another young player, Shohei Ohtani, who is thriving as a hitter and a pitcher. And I will continue to share my opinion that I think I'm so happy that he's doing both. I'm very excited that he gets to throw and he's going to be starting. And we talked on the show already that the manager plans to use him once a week as a starting pitcher. So we know that that's going to be happening. But I also heard some talk and read an article about the fact that they said if he doesn't get his pitching in order, they won't let him hold the bat. They won't put a bat in his hand. So, they want him to work on some things on the mound, but he looks good to me both as a pitcher and a hitter in this. And I wrote a blog post the other day talking about it. I said, hey, look, obviously the guys in the States, they hear 97 and on the gun. And the first thing is that they think is, well, why is this guy wasting his time in the batter's box? We got to get him on one side of the ball and keep him there and work that arm. He's got a power arm. We can't waste it. And I'm like, yeah, but he hit a home run the other day. Did you see his home run?
Did you catch the highlight? Left center.
Left center again, and he hit one last year in the preseason.
And he hit it. This was not a barely over the wall at Sapporo Dome.
Yeah, this was a blast.
10, yeah, he did 10, 15 rows up to left center, which is far.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this on the show last year, and one import pitcher I spoke with last year said that he thought he was an easy out at the plate, and another foreign pitcher said he should get rid of the bat and stay on the mound if he wants to be a major league prospect, and that's it. No major league teams are going to let him do both. He's wasting his time. And I contend that if he continues to advance in both aspects, like he's doing, he's getting better as a hitter. And I love the power arm too, but you've always pulled me back to earth and said, hey, look, he can hit too. And I keep saying, yeah, but that arm and he can throw and I love him. And you keep saying that guys at his age who hit like he has are stars. And
they end up in the Hall of Fame. Most
yeah. And I just want him to be able to do both, and I want him to get the opportunity to do it in the States.
Wow. Well, see, again, I'll just say what I've said before, which is, the 10th time tonight. Unfortunately, I don't think he could probably in a number of years time, he could probably still go to the States if he were a pitcher and a hitter. And the major leagues teams would say, we want you as a pitcher, give up on the hitting. Well, right? he could probably still do that.
You know what? Well, let me interject real quickly.
Go ahead.
If the posting system stays the way it is now.
Right.
And he has, let's say he puts in two more years or three more years and he gets better each year. He's going to have the leverage, not the major league teams. Because if he's negotiating with multiple teams, he's going to say, hey, you're going to let me pitch and hit? He's going to have the leverage, and if they want him, they're going to say, well, okay, or sorry, we're an American League team. We can't do that. Well, yes, you can. You can give me a spot in the field when I can play when I'm not pitching. He's going to have the leverage. So go ahead. If the posting system stays the way it is, and that's a big if.
Right. Well, I don't think it's going to regress. I'll tell you of all the bad things that I think about the current posting system, giving the players freedom to choose a team, freedom to negotiate, is the part that I do like.
Mm.
So I think that is never going to, you know, it's sort of like they let the cat out of that bag. You know, they let that cat out of the bag.
Power to the people.
You know, that part of Pandora's box is now open. It ain't going to go closed on.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, the other thing is that what I was going to about to get to is I see two futures for Ohtani. We'll give him three. One is pitcher, one is hitter and pitcher, and one is just as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his chances of going to the major league based on what major league teams typically want when they have a guy who is like Ohtani, and there are probably a dozen of them every year in college, guys who are Sean Doolittle with the A's, who was a pitcher. He was a pitcher and a first baseman in college.
I do not remember.
And he was a pitcher. He was a first. They wanted him as a first baseman until, for some reason, he had an injury that didn't allow him to swing, and now he's a star reliever.
Mm.
So, in any case, I think it was Sean Doolittle. I'm not certain. In any case, most 90% of the major league teams, I would say, 100 without exception, every major league team will want the guy to be a pitcher, because they feel always pitchers are in short supply. The irony is this: if he said, you know, and I think I look at it, you know, look at his talent, you know, he can throw close to 100 miles an hour, and that's a fairly rare talent. But guys who can hit as well as he can at 19 is, I think, I don't think he can throw 100 miles an hour in a game. I think the fastest we've seen him throw is about 155.
He hit 156 the other night.
Okay. So he's getting there, and he's, you know, what is he? He'll be 20 this year towards the middle of the season.
Yeah, that's 97 for you guys who are listening stateside.
Okay. Still, people who hit as well as he did, who are playing once a week or twice a week in the outfield, you know, are having a lot of trouble making the adjustments. And he did have a lot of trouble making adjustments. He had trouble keeping up with the adjustments at the plate as the season went along and he became more of a pitcher than a hitter. I think his hitting talent is at least as rare as his pitching talent.
Mm.
And here's the thing, is if you're a hitter, you're less susceptible to sudden injuries. Of course, this is a guy who could be the next Smokey Joe Wood, who's a star pitcher who becomes a star outfielder, or Babe Ruth, that he could do that. He could have that kind of career as well.
Well, I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm real excited. I'm excited for this season for him, and I hope he does both well, and I'll be rooting for him.
But here's the thing. If he becomes a hitter, if he were to say, well, you know, I think his best major league career is as a hitter. This is something he'd have to do now. But here's the other thing. It's easier for a pitcher to I think this is the thing. It's easier, much easier for a Japanese pitcher to transition to the major leagues than it is for a Japanese hitter to transition to the major leagues.
Hmm.
Especially at the age, and we're talking about the age of 26, 27, 28. I think it's much more difficult. Just because the hitting is so fundamentally different in Japan.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay, so as his career, best career in the major leagues would be as a hitter, but I think the chances that a major league team would want him as a hitter is zero.
Right. We'll keep an eye on things, see how it goes. Okay. I'll be rooting for him, you know, to hit and to pitch well. So, but a guy who's been hitting well in the exhibition season
in the artificial games, or what did you call it?
The fake games. Fake baseball.
Games.
Yeah, it looks like baseball, only it's not. Has been Seiya Inoue of the Chiba Lotte Marines. Now this guy he's a character. He's a big boy. He reminds me of the song Big Time by Peter Gabriel. Remember that song in the
80s? Yeah, I know Big Time, yeah.
He's a big boy with a big swing, and they have big hopes that he has big impact with some big flies.
Got a big waistline, too.
But the biggest problem so far is he isn't hitting for much power, if you really look at it. I think he has 5 doubles now, and he's got, so through 10 games, he was slugging .613. So 14 hits and 5 doubles, but no home runs. So there's a lot of time. I mean, the upside looks great. You talked about it before we started taping that he's got a good swing. I like his swing. I like his approach. He's young. He's energetic. It looks like the upside is really good, but you know what? He's still a rookie, and I just don't see him having that big an impact or carrying the Marines or making them that much better for an entire season.
Well, not at this stage, and not as a rookie, you don't.
No, I don't see. It might come to fruition that that's what he does, but I don't see it.
I think, well, you see steps with players progressing, and obviously, his biggest adjustment, the biggest adjustments are the ones they make right in the first couple of years of their pro career. Mm. So he's 24 this year. And, you know, when I first saw him.
He'll be 25 in July.
Okay, he's 24 now then.
Yeah, he's 24 now.
And he'll be 24 most of the season. So, anyway, the first thing I saw when I looked at him, I thought, wow, you know, he reminds me of three guys.
All rolled into one? Ha ha.
Yeah, all at the same physical address. You know, all of the batter box at the same time. Norihiro Nakamura, Akira Eto, and Takuya Nakamura.
Three great players.
Three great players who are also very big.
They're big, but they're, I mean, yeah.
Well, they were fat. I mean, they came out of high school. Nori wasn't that fat, but he put on weight very easily, and Eto was fat, and Nakamura was fat. And, but the difference is, the big difference here is those three guys were all record-setting. I think, well, Nakamura, I don't think, was a record-setting high school home run hitter. Eto broke a record. Nakamura broke Eto's or somebody else's record. And I think Sho Nakata has broken Nakamura's record.
Right.
But they were, I forgot to throw Sho Nakata in there as well. But they're these guys who don't look like they have a natural defensive position. And they look like their body types are going to keep them from progressing much, but they have proved to be very durable here.
Yeah, the reason they look like they don't have a defensive position is because they look like they ate it.
Wow. Okay, where's third base?
Yeah, give me third base. That was good. Is there any more?
There's just a cinnamon here where third base used to be.
Cinnamon. Yeah.
It's gross. So anyway, and they were all third basemen. Although to be honest, Nakamura and Eto were both came up as catchers. But anyway, so the difference is that he's 6 years older than those guys were.
Yeah.
Average. I think he's going to get the average thing down because he's got a sweet swing. He's got a very light stance in the batter's box for a guy who, you know, carries around so much weight. You know, he's gonna, if he doesn't lose weight, it's gonna be a problem, but right now he's a first baseman, not gonna be a third baseman, I don't think.
Well, the other thing I like about him,
I think the power is gonna come.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I said he's got upside coming, but the thing is he's a contact hitter.
Right.
You know, he's not swinging for the fence all the time, and once he gets the hang of things and once he gets used to the pitching and how people are pitching him, and he starts to make better contact, then the ball start flying out. But at the moment,
I think in a couple of years, this is a guy who could hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
But I don't, I like him. He's fun to watch, and he does, you know, basically he seems to have an extreme, you know what he seems to have is an extremely good sense of where he is and what he needs to do at the moment.
Yep.
And that's a lot for a kid who's 24 years old, although he's been in college and he's been in corporate ball. So so that's kind of a fun thing to watch this year is how Aja. I don't know. Do you know where Aja comes from?
I don't know where it came from. I think I heard long back when spring started, but I don't remember.
Wow, I thought he was – at first I thought somebody was tracking Steely Dan there or something.
Way back machine. All right, well, going from talking to somebody we both like and probably are going to learn to respect to...
somebody we'd like to learn to respect if he'd deserve it.
Well, I was just going to say his name, to Hideyoshi Wakui, but I like the way you put it.
I'm not going to say we kid because we love, because the guy's a jerk.
We kid because we kid. We kid because we can. Hideyoshi Wakui did not have a good start the other day, and anyway, I had actually put this question up on the Facebook page, and I just started thinking the other day, who's going to have more success, the Hanshin Tigers or Hideaki Wakui with his new team, the Lotte Marines? And the way I posed this question, and I'm going to pose it to you, and I guess we can just watch and see how it unfolds this season. And the way I pose the question is, will the Tigers, who were second last season, they were 12 and a half games behind the Giants in the Central League, will they finish double digits over 500, or will Waukee finish with double digits in victories? And I think it's going to be a close race. I got to be honest.
I think it is tough because I think the Tigers can finish under 500. There's no way Waukee is going to have fewer wins than zero. I mean, that can't happen. He's zero. He's maxed out on that already. But basically, the issue has been his fastball. He can't. I don't know. I think he left it in the clubhouse at Cebu Dome because it hasn't been there. It's been listless. Our beat reporter for the Marines, Mr. Kimura, who I met today, actually, nice chat with, called it limp. His fastball has been limp.
Without the biscuit.
Okay.
But this I don't even know where to begin. He basically wants to start, right?
Right.
And that was one of the reasons why he was leaving Cebu, was to start over and start starting again.
Right.
And
this is the brings up the previous reference to Koji Uehara. And when Koji, you know, I was thinking about this because when you were mentioning Waukee having leverage, well, Koji Uehara was a free agent.
Well, you mean Matsui or Shohei Ohtani might have leverage.
Shohei Ohtani might have leverage. And Koji Uehara had leverage because he was a free agent. And there were a number of teams that were interested in signing him. And the Atlanta Braves scout told me we would have loved to have him had he not insisted on being a starter. He ended up with Baltimore because the Orioles were eager to let him start. As I said, the Orioles at that time were eager to let anybody start.
So if you had an arm, it could throw 85 miles an hour.
Exactly. Right? But the way Hara just didn't have it anymore. The Giants repeatedly would give him a start now and then to prove that he couldn't do it. But when they let him relieve, he was a killer. And yet, the only thing you can say about his relieving in the last 7 years was that he had a couple of bad late season and postseason outings for the Rangers 2 years ago. Other than that, he's been lights out, baby.
Yeah.
So I think, and Waukee has been in that, you know, he hasn't been Uehara, but there's no reason he couldn't be Uehara.
Right.
And he's been superb, but he's also been a baby about it, which is, I'm a starting pitcher. I'm going to start. I'm not a reliever.
Yeah.
So we should, you know, maybe this will be the year he gets over that. Maybe this will be the year he gets over it. Next year he saves 40 games.
Well, so far in the spring, 2 outings, 9 total innings, 9 runs, 12 hits. He struck out 5. I bet they're kicking themselves, but
that's me.
I posed that question on the Facebook page. So if you want, if you'd like to answer, go to the Facebook page and let us know. I'm torn. I actually think the Tigers have a better chance of finishing.
I think so too.
500. But then he does of getting the double digits and wins, but you know, he can win some games out of the bullpen too. You never know.
True.
But we will track this. We will track this.
Don't think, you know, well, the Marines have some weird, they got some weird things going on. I like Ito. He does weird stuff sometimes. And I heard one today, speaking of the Marines, bullpen, that the plan was for Nishino to be the closer from the second half of the season.
What?
Say what?
Is this? Do not open until July?
Yeah. Like what? Like is
open after Christmas.
Has he got a weird contract terms or what? I don't know. So anyway.
That is funky.
Until then, Masuda is gonna stay. Masuda, who was sort of an unknown, who was rookie of the year a few years ago and has turned into a pretty good closer, although another guy who you know, carries the tea, the nitroglycerin around too, a little too carelessly in his pocket sometimes.
Yeah, but he was adequate last year.
He was adequate. I mean, I think it was just odd that I happened to see a lot of his blown saves, you know, as Michael Westbay was talking about Yamaguchi the other year when he was bad-mouthing him a lot because he saw all his blown saves.
Yeah.
It throws things out of proportion. Yeah, this is the thing. When you watch things, you tend to have a different proportion than when you look at the whole, sit back and look at the big picture. So.
Right. All right. Well, there are a lot of questions surrounding the Marines, but we have our own question with fielding questions. All right. This one comes from Brian in California, and he says, great show this week. And that was 2 weeks ago. So thank you very much, Brian. He said he loved it. He said he loved the discussion between you and I, about Malkoon and the contract and all the other stuff that happened in the show. And then he says, okay, I haven't heard anybody discuss this, but on the catcher-runner issue, why not just make every play at the plate a force? Simple, easy, solves the injury problem. For some reason, MLB is staring at this issue like it's the Rosetta Stone. So, go ahead and start. I mean, a force at the plate automatically. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think now we have three sides to this argument. We used to have this is the way baseball is played. This is the way baseball is should be played. And now let's go that one better. I guess we could top that. I mean, I'm going to say this because my opinion about the collisions, which is now about where which is where MLB is now,
mm-hmm.
used to be pretty far out in left field. You know, it used to be pretty radical, which was basically try to get rid of the collisions.
Right.
And every time I said that, people would go, no, that's the way baseball is. Well, now I've heard this. Somebody mentioned this. As a kind of a joke, you know, well, if you're going to do that, why not just make it a force play? And, getting rid of the collisions is a good idea because, you really go to see the players
mm-hmm.
play baseball. And that's such a small part of the game that I'd rather see them playing baseball than, you know, pretending to be linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, in football where you're supposed to hurt people. But, I think it's enough just to enforce the rules.
Yeah.
You know, enforce the rules. And I'm going to say this in a way which sounds ambiguous in the sense that, the rules allow, as I've said, the rules allow a runner to decapitate any player with the ball. But I mean, if you've got the ball, the runner could, according to the rules, knock it out of your hands.
Yep.
He could bash you across. He could hit you in the face and knock the ball out of, you know, kick you in the glove or do whatever he wants to you and knock the ball out. Of course, that won't fly because the teams won't let it fly and the umpires won't let it fly. But there are no rules against it.
Right.
So. In the sense that that is the norm. I just want to see the rules enforced like that at every base, which is fine with me. And if they're saying now that if the catcher is, very briefly, if the catcher is giving you a lane to run and it's going to make a sweep tag, you are not allowed to attack the catcher.
Mm.
You've got to go to the plate.
Right.
And if the catcher is standing in your plate in your path with the ball, then your only recourse is to run him over the way it used to be. So those are the two things. And he's saying, let's eliminate that altogether with a force play. I don't think that's necessary, but that's just my opinion.
Okay. You know, a force play at home, I basically understand what you're saying, and I think it has some merit, but in my mind, it solves some of the issues, but not all of the issues. And, let me state for the record, I think there is no perfect solution, but let's say,
Well, there's my solution. That's perfect.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
I see how the game is played now. All right.
I'm kidding.
I'm out. Hey, I struck out and I didn't even have a bat.
It did. I just struck out. So there
we go. All right. So let's say there's a sacrifice fly. There's a runner charging toward the catcher, and the catcher's standing near the plate and waiting to field the ball. And the path of the ball takes him into the path of the runner. There's a collision. And you can't, it's a force play, but he's got to catch the ball. If the ball takes him into the path of the runner, it's neither guy's fault. It's just
that
a collision.
Correct.
It is an accident.
Well, that is going to happen.
And that is going to happen.
Accidents do happen. What a shock.
Yeah. And then what's next? You have a bases loaded situation, let's say, and
then you've got a force.
Then you've got a force automatically. But let's say you get an infielder. There are fewer than two outs. You get an infielder who's trying to throw the ball to the plate. Throws are erratic. They don't always come in at the same height. They don't come in at the same speed. They don't come in on the fly sometimes.
Sure.
You're going to have collisions in that respect too.
Right.
Even if the player is out, you're still going to have. They still could have contact at the plate.
They still can, and it's still going to be basically, and you put this well, is if, and right now they're saying that it is as the, it's written as the, it's going to be enforced as the rules are written, which is if the only place, you know, if for some reason you have to be in that location,
mm-hmm.
usually because you have to move laterally because it's too late, you know, because the ball is breaking on you.
Right.
But typically what they're trying to get rid of is the guy sitting in the baseline waiting for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And arguing that I had to be there to catch the ball. No, you did not. You could have been 1 foot closer to, you know, you could have been 3 feet closer to first base to catch the ball.
Right.
That's two different things. You could have been behind the baseline to catch the ball. You didn't have to be in the baseline. But if you're standing on home plate and the ball carries you a yard up the line, there's a good chance you and the runner are going to be there at the same time. And MLB is saying, well, you know, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Yeah. And there's some other scenarios that are going to happen. For example, you've got a runner at third and there's a wild pitch. We're not talking about a catcher who's blocking the plate now. We're talking about a pitcher who's trying to cover. And even if it's a force, he's standing right on the plate when there's a runner coming. That's even more dangerous. And a couple of times I saw some pitchers who just about got their legs taken out, or they were diving at guys trying to tag them and putting their shoulders at risk and elbows and wrists.
Well, pitchers tend to do it like it's more like other bases. You know, they're not wearing the body armor. They're just trying to make the tag.
Yeah, but they're certainly right on top of the plate. They run straight in and they come right on top of the plate to field that throw. And it could
sure.
be a worse situation, if you ask me, because
sure.
they're not expecting that contact and they're not used to it. And they don't have any of the padding that the catcher's
right.
Have.
Well, in that case, yes. If the pitcher is standing on the plate with the ball, it's not the same as somebody blocking the plate.
Yeah.
If you're standing on the plate with the ball and the guy,
We don't know if he has the ball yet, though.
It doesn't matter. If you're standing on the plate, you're not blocking. I mean, if you've got 1 foot on the bat, okay.
Well, you're allowed to do that.
It could be anything. Pitchers don't block the plate.
Normally, but there are some situations.
They could end up there, but essentially that's as it is now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's a force play, now you know, instead of extending your arm out to the runner, now you're saying that the guy needs to stand on the plate. There's an option. Obviously, you can tag him if you want to, but it's a force play. You're going to put them on top of the plate, and that's with a runner coming barreling at them. So the other thing is, you're asking catchers and other people, because sometimes in some freaky situation where there's the ball's been thrown around or something, you have a first baseman covering the plate or somebody else coming in to cover at home because the ball's gotten away from somebody somewhere. You're telling them to stick a leg out on the plate or stand right on top of the plate. You know, I'm not sure that a force play takes out all of the entire possibility.
Yeah,
of a collision.
I'll agree with you. I don't think it's a complete situation. I think it's, and I'm going to say, it's an interesting idea, and I'll say this because I don't properly grasp all the possibilities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go with you that there's no perfect solution, and there's always a better solution than the one we think is currently the best. So I'm gonna say, Brian, I appreciate your idea, and maybe you can even refine that a little bit and come up with some the ways to make it work. Because right now I don't see it, but you know we have to keep up. We have, you know, I'm always complaining when I think, you know, I know the answer and nobody will listen, so we have to keep open minds.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I look at the collisions and I'm always saying, ooh, that's tough. Ooh, but when it's my favorite team and it's my player, then, you know, the player I'm rooting for who's getting his head blown up, you know, then I start to care a little bit more. So let's say that it is a big boy sport, and I hope they just enforce the rules, and I hope the catchers or whoever's covering the play give the runners a path. If they do that, then we will have fewer collisions and there'll be fewer injuries because of it, but we can eliminate it. It's part of the game. We're going to have them. Let's try to keep everybody safe, as safe
well,
as
I was,
possible.
Well, I was quite, you know, I was looking at, you know, I looked at a number of these stories online, and to see all the comments on the internet by all the people who basically perspective of baseball is as watching other people get their bodies blown up and complaining that well, if they want to change the rules like this, they should all go out there wearing tutus and turn it into ballet, because they're trying to take the real sport out of it. You know, they're trying to take their entertainment out of it. Like, okay, well, my opinion is if that's the entertainment from baseball comes from collisions at home plate, why don't you go watch hockey? I mean, you know, get your butt out of the ballpark.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian. Brian, by the way, ran in the Los Angeles Marathon, and he didn't tell me what his time was, but he said he did finish, and I hope he got close to his goal time. So congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, good luck with that. Congratulations with that. I hope you're better and getting better.
Yep, and thank you for the question. Next time, MP3, buddy. Also, anybody who's listening, you can send your questions or comments, walkway comments included, by email. to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and you can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there.
I don't know if we should encourage people to be commenting too much on Wakui, but you know, be honest and give us your reasoned opinions. Well, okay, well, thanks everybody. And we will be talking to what next week?
Next week, we're going weekly, and we're going to come back next week with our PL and CL preview show. Woohoo!
I wanted to go strongly, but I guess we'll go weekly.
Okay, well, I think we did that last week, so that's not funny anymore.
I got to recycle them until I remember them.
That could take forever.
My memory, yeah, baby.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening.
Take care.
Enjoy your baseball.